FMX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis. Say that dedication, your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to Fly Racing RacerX Podcast. This is High Point Review, some Major MXGP talk as well. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it, everybody. Jason Wygant and Jason Thomas joining me here in a little bit to talk about the race. Thank you to Fly Racing, man. 25 years of Fly. Chance Hymus, Fly Gear, is crushing it right now. RJ Hampshire, championship with Fly Racing, from the Kinetic to the Light to the Evo Gear, F16, all of it's great stuff. Great price points, colors, stretchy materials, vented, non-vented, all of that. They've got all the options at Fly Racing, flyracing.com, or get it at motorsport.com. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires as well. Mountain bike tires, light truck tires, trailer tires. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires for all that they do. And they got, you know, Freddie Norn is running Maxxis Tires right now. So he's crushing it. Thank you to Maxxis.com for more information. Thanks for those guys for coming on. And Renthal, man. Renthal.com. You look at the top riders' bikes, top riders like Jason Anderson and Jet Lawrence and Chase Sexton using Renthal sprockets and chains, for the most part, bars as well, 7/8 bar, twin wall bar, fat bar 36. The purple limited edition bars that people are having trouble finding right now, they are at motorsport.com, or they will be very, very soon. So please check out motorsport.com for the Renthal purple bars. Those things are going like hotcakes. So thanks to the folks at Renthal. Super informative website as well. And awesome guys to have on the pod. And chances are you've used something of Renthal over the years, right? Right? Have to. All right. And we'll tell you more about motorsport.com later on as well. But for now, let's get Weege and JT on the line and discuss High Point and more. All right, everybody, welcome to the Fly Racing RacerX Podcast. As I said off the top, let's talk some High Point and Majora, MXGP, and more. Thank you again to Fly Racing, Renthal, Maxxis, all on board with us on X Maps as well. First up, he called the action from High Point with James Stewart in the booth, and then had an eventful Sunday that we will get into as well. It's Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, busy weekend for all of us. And that's why this show is delayed. You folks probably know, Steve, you were in Italy over the weekend, so that's why we're doing this late. But yes, we've got many stories to tell, both to and beyond the racetrack.
Also on the line from Fly Racing, flyracing.com, 25 years of Fly, as I spoke about. Jason Thomas, what's up, JT?
Not much. I woke up, it's my birthday today, and I woke up in a fit of anger because Steve has somehow tried to position me as the reason this show not getting done yet. Like, I'm the least... least possible of the three as a reason that has not done yet.
You never replied.
Steve, I was available the entire afternoon and evening of Sunday. I was available all day Monday when you were not. And I was available all day Tuesday when both of you were not. So you can go ahead and suck it, because I had nothing to do with any of it. And I just appreciate being thrown under the bus, of which I had no accountability.
I don't understand. There was like never a mention yesterday from you about the pod at any time.
No, because we said we're not going to be able to do this today.
No, we did not say that. We said 3 p.m. Eastern.
And then that time came and went. Nothing happened.
You never said you could do it. You never said, okay, 3 Eastern, are we ready? Because I replied, yep. I said, I guess so. 3 Eastern. And then you never said anything. So I didn't, I mean, I guess I could have said JT question mark, but I assume, you know, and then you made a comment later in the day about having a hell of a day. You said, I had a hell of a day today. Like something happened at work, or, you know, something was busy, or I don't even know. So I just assumed that your workday took you out of the running. It's exactly what happened.
This is complete bullshit. No. And I use that word as strongly and all caps as possible.
That was all factual, sir. You never replied.
Steve, again, I was available Sunday, Tuesday, and now.
That's okay. Well, again, on Tuesday, yesterday.
All those times I was available.
On Tuesday,
so
yesterday,
you
never
said. That I'm the reason
said.
The show didn't get done.
Yes.
Is complete BS.
That's how I took it. Can you, going forward, can you be a little better on following up on the communication then? Because we each communicated and I communicated.
Oh, wow.
And you never did. So that's where I took it. Like 3 p.m. Eastern didn't work for you.
Wow.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on.
We're going to have to, this is, I didn't think it'd be worse, but clearly Wednesdays are worse than Sundays. So we better move on.
I'm just saying that I was like, I guess he can't do it because Weege was back. I don't even know, Weege, were you back by then? I don't even know if you were, but.
I just said, it's getting late. You want me to just call into the Pulp Show instead? And you said, how about tomorrow? Yeah, I mean.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
High Point, here we go. High Point or Mount Morris? I think the Mount Morris part is over with.
I think it's fading. Yeah, or gone.
It used to be, like, when I started as a mechanic, it was Mount Morris, we're going to Mount Morris, you know, blah, blah, blah. I love Mount Morris, hate Mount Morris. And Motocross actually used to call it Mount Morris. And now it's just High Point, I think. So, lots of controversy over this track prep. I don't know if you guys saw a Mr. Phil Nicoletti on social media, Cade Clayson as well. He was talking about it again last night. It did look brutal. It looked nasty. It looked hard. And Randy Poulter, who is the track guy, Weege, for High Point? Or for MX Sports? I don't know. I don't know if he works for High Point or for MX Sports or whatever. And
I think that MX Sports hires him to be the track guy for this race. And probably, I would assume, in the past, Ironman. So probably again this year.
He called in and said that basically they kind of didn't have the right tractor to disc it because it was so deep and it's so many hills. You know, you need a certain size of tractor. So that kind of couldn't happen. I don't know. Did you guys get – and I got it. I talked to a couple of people, riders. I'm not going to necessarily take Phil's word because he complains about everything. But what did you guys hear?
Well, I did talk to Phil in person, and that was brutal. As brutal as the track. This is after practice, I think. And then Phil's dad was there. Hadn't seen Phil's dad in a while. And Phil is just going off about the track prep. And his dad just looks at me and he's like, "You're not going to win this one." And I'm like, "I'm not even trying to win it. Like, I don't even disagree. Like, I'm not like, oh, I work for Racer X, so I'm just going to fight Phil to the death."
Yeah.
Did look tough. And they did have rain on Friday, which you can set your watch to it at High Point, that you'll have rain at some point in the weekend, usually around 5 p.m. the Friday before. I swear that's happened like 13 out of the last 15 years. But to me, with the amount of rain they got, it didn't need to be that brutal.
That's what people were saying. They kind of knew the rain was coming. Why did they rip it so deep?
Well, I would argue that all they had to do was rip it again on Saturday. And I was texting you in the middle of your conversation with a track designer. No response, no nothing.
No communication.
But I mean, there was a tractor with a disc on it that they were using on different sections of the racetrack. But so they're saying they don't have a tractor, and I was listening to the conversation.
Yeah, you heard him say that, right? That you heard him.
So Dave Coombs, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, could find a way to disc the racetrack because I've been going there since 1995, and they've been discing all over that racetrack. You know, the whole concept of it is, you know, the base is really hard. The dirt on top is so you till it or disc it to flip the dirt over. You penetrate all the hard dirt, flip it over, you mix those two together, and you get, guess what? Amazing traction and an amazing racetrack. So
different from ripping. People should know, different from ripping. Right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, they're somewhat similar. The base effect is the same. The tools used are different.
I thought they were a little different. They are based, like you said, bass tools are different. I thought it did produce a different type of track.
I mean, I'm sure there are some sort of marginal differences.
Okay.
But the point is you break through the hardness, get that dry dirt to mix in with all that, and then you get a much better racetrack, right? All they kept doing was pushing mud around. Like every time, after every practice, they were just pushing mud back into the lines. Like there were, I don't know, like I listen and listen, I'm sure Randy Poulter knows 10 times more about track prep than I'll ever know, but I've been going to that for 30 years and I still, for the life of me, can't understand why they didn't disc certain sections. Now, if you want to say the most extreme sections of the racetrack, you can't get to them. Okay. I mean, there are fire roads everywhere. You go down the hill and then you take the fire road up to somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I've just been watching that same dynamic go on with incredible results with that situation. Like wet dirt that is dried and is ready to be ripped because the base is hard and the topsoil is really wet, and you can create like an ideal set of circumstances to go racing on, and they just refused, or I don't know. I don't know. Like had I been racing, I would have really echoed Phil's frustrations because
okay, so you're on that side a little bit.
Yeah. If you hear James Stewart throughout the day, we kept talking about like, we really expected the track to get better and better and better, but it really didn't because they just kept pushing the mud around and we're like, what are you guys doing? Like I literally must've said that 30 times on Saturday. Like, what are you doing? Because it could have been all time. Like I truly believe that track could have been like all time great. And instead it wasn't.
Okay. So you heard frustration from riders and teams?
I didn't talk to a lot of riders.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, even I talked to Davey very briefly and he seemed like he was a bit frustrated with the lack of discing as well.
Well,
so I don't know every detail, so I don't want to throw people under the bus, but having gone to, just like you guys, having gone to these racetracks most of our life, the conditions were perfect to make that track amazing. We just needed to add that one ingredient and it just seemingly never happened.
Right. Okay, so I just sent a text off, and the ripping has the ability to go deeper. That's about the only difference between discing and ripping.
Fair enough.
You go deeper with the ripping because those claws are pretty gnarly, right? Because, man, this was the type of track, like, you know, look, we're going to talk about Deegs in a little bit, and he was amazing and impressive. But it's the type of track where if you take the wrong line in one lap, you could go 2 seconds slower than the lap before. Like you could get stuck or drag or like the rut could change. It seemed like finding lines around this place was super difficult. And in some way, Weej, that's part of the challenge of racing, right? You know?
Well, I love having this battle all the time. I mean, we've had this several times this year alone with these supercross tracks that were super soft, where everybody says the better racing comes from the lack of slot car and the crossing, and we did see a lot of that at Hangtown, for example, and it was good. But I saw guys, people seem to equate separation with great racing, and we had massive amounts of separation.
Yeah,
and honestly, the four motos in bulk had really good racing. I feel like the track shouldn't have been that bad for the amount of rain. And I know you could say they knew the rain was coming, but that's just always. That's so much hindsight. I just feel like with the amount of rain they had, even if it was ripped up on Friday night, it could have been salvaged better. But I'm not sure that it would have made the racing any better.
Yeah.
It didn't look fun. It looked difficult. But by God, did it lead to good battles and back and forth. And a guy would have two good laps. And another guy would have two bad ones. And then it would reverse and flip-flop.
Yeah.
It actually made the racing good.
Yeah, I'm not judging it one way or another. I'm just – the amount of texts I got and complaints were high. And not just from the guy who always complains. You know? So –
well, that's the whole thing, is it could have been amazing. I think that was where people are texting, is like, it's ready to be turned amazing, and it's just like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Because this could be awesome. Like, there's nobody, I promise you, Steve, there was nobody walking around at like 10 or 11 a.m. that wasn't going, man, this track's going to be amazing at like 2 o'clock. Everybody was saying that.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, what? Like, what's happening? Like, it's not getting, you know, it's just...
Right.
Okay. Had to be hard to deal with if you're racing.
Yeah, look tough. Look gnarly, for sure. All right. Yeah. So,
but like, it's like Seattle Supercross.
Yeah.
Like, in the end, that was one of the most compelling battles we've seen all year because it was super tough and everyone was making mistakes.
And don't you want, you know, you love the move around, sweep, hard pack of Hangtown, and then you got a High Point, Rutty, and like just different, you know, different soils, different things you got to be good at, right?
Yes, that is good. I mean, it was a stark contrast to the first three rounds, this one. My gosh.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so question we were talking about on the Pulp Show. With Jet getting passed by Chase in Moto2 and Hunter leading laps and all over him, and Jason Anderson obviously helped out a little bit, but is this Jet's shoulder and give him the off week and he's going to destroy Southwick, or is Hunter and Chase getting closer? Which is it, Weege? I kind of think it's the shoulder.
Yeah, I think it's you used the term blame pie on your dumb show, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's 100% that. And you want to give Hunter and Chase credit and not completely discredit everything they did.
Right.
But I don't think you're seeing 100% Jet, no doubt about it. But, and by the way, I think you got to write off Southwick because I just think in sand, Jet is just, he just goes to another level. So I don't even know if that's a fair.
Okay.
Like he could be way ahead of Sexton or Southwick, and then we'll be like, see, it was the shoulder, but I could see by Millville Sexton being right back to him.
Okay.
So I don't want to use that as a litmus test. Anyway, I do think he's ailing a bit. However, I think what's very important here, and I'll swing this to you, JT, is whether he's 90%, 88%, or 70%, to me, this is a bit of a breakthrough. Because if you're Sexton, you're not going to leave the race saying, I'll have no chance once he's 100%. If you're Sexton, you're saying, I got this. Right, JT? You got to tell yourself that.
I don't know if he can tell himself, I got this guy, because he's...
Or it's closer than it was last year when you were making the point that he never passed him. He never, ever passed him.
If he has to choose between last year and this year, it's an easy this year. No question. No question about it. I think the trouble here for Chase, because I think he's fitter than Jet. Like, I think he is the fittest guy in the class. I don't mean just Jet. I think he's the fittest guy in the class. And I judge them... The way they look in the moto when they come off the track, the way if they're breathing hard, if they look exhausted physically, I think he's the fittest guy. Doesn't mean he's the best race. Sometimes he's the fastest, sometimes not. But there's this really key aspect to racing. And when you're really close to victory, are you more prone to doing things that cost you winning or that cause you to win? And I believe that Jet almost always does things that cause him to win. And I think there's been a real propensity for Chase to do things that cost him the win. And that's been a really key difference in those two racing against each other for the past 13 months. Every time, 99% of the time when Chase has these opportunities to pass Jet, beat Jet, he has made a critical mistake, and it's cost him any opportunity. You know, Jet's going to win on his own account a lot of the time. Like, he is going to forcefully win, but in those opportune moments where Chase can take advantage of Jet not being his best and giving him an opportunity, he's not doing it. You know, like Hangtown was the one time where he'd say, yeah, man, he really took advantage of it. He's got to do more of that. Since then, and lots of times before then, Unadilla last year, Millville last year, go through all the opportunities he's had and been unable to capitalize on it. That to me is the biggest difference right now, is Jet's overcoming adversity and finding ways to win. And Chase sometimes is finding ways to lose. And you simply cannot find ways to lose if you want to be champion against Jet. You can't. You can't go out of your way to make unforced errors. They will absolutely kill you against a guy like Jet.
I agree, but you are the one that made the point of he hasn't ever passed him. That's something. Like, if you're Sexton, you take something out of that, right?
This is better than it was last year. I'm saying in a binary situation of being champion or not, that's the biggest problem, is he is finding ways to lose, and Jet is finding ways to win. That's, to me, it's not a huge speed edge right now. It's not a gigantic fitness edge. Right now, it's all in the margins and the racecraft, and Jet is simply better at that right now than Chase is.
It was impressive that once Sexton got him, maybe even for the second time, I think we were bench racing about this in the show, on the broadcast, but I think it was running through everyone's minds where, all right, if Jet's ailing a little bit, he's still going to win the overall. Maybe it's not going to happen today. But damn it, he managed to just stay close enough. I mean, he wasn't right on it. He had a couple sections where he could get him. They had both had lines that were killing them and helping them. And it was just impressive how Jet was like, no, I'm going to stay close. I'm not just going to wave the white flag here just in case. And it worked.
I think he was trying. I think he had already kind of given in. I really do. Like it, him going on the podium and saying that was Chase's moto, like he was going to win. Like, when have you ever heard Jet say that? Ever?
Yeah, but he wasn't that far behind.
My opinion yeah. that nobody can change is that if Chase doesn't go down, that there's no more drama in that moto.
No, I agree. I don't think Jet repasses him, but I'm saying that Jet could have fallen 12 seconds behind.
Well,
and then maybe that doesn't happen.
Trying. Like, he's still trying. But I think both of them, deep down, knew that it had already been decided, right? Like, the rest of the race had to kind of play out. But that definitive moment, that pass, like, they both know what the situation is. Jet was doing everything he could do to keep Chase back there. Finally, it was just like, I can't hold him back there anymore. And then once Chase gets in front of him, Jet can't really put any pressure on him. And Chase is killing him in that one section, right? The section right yes. before where he crashed. I just don't think Jet was looking at it going, okay, I'm going to find a way back around him. I think he was already kind of had spit the bit. Like, I think he was kind of over.
I'm just contrasting with the first move where Sexton ends up losing by 26 seconds. And Jet was keeping it to two-ish just in case. I probably won't pass him, but I'm going to stay close. And who knows? Maybe that'll pay off. And it did. I give him credit for not letting the gap get unmanageable.
Yeah, it had only been like a lap and a half, to be fair. But yes, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but on one side of the track, you would get a lot of it back. Like that right side before Bradshaw Boulevard, what used to be Bradshaw Boulevard, he would get a lot of it back. And I was like, they just needed to swap each other's lines. They both had a section that was killing them. They both did.
Look, he goes, if it is the shoulder, which I think it is, and he still went 1-1, and he's eight points out of the lead now. Right. And he's got a week off and he's going to Southwick. And yeah, we could be talking about another streak here, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, very easily. Like, as much as we want to talk about Hunter and Chase and they rode great. Yeah. Still all the props to Jet for doing this.
I agree with your basic point, JT. Like, he comes out of Hangtown hurt. If you're Sexton, you cannot hand over the amount of points that he handed over in the four motos where Jet was at his worst. That's not
no. It's yeah. You can't. You cannot do it. You have to, like, Jet is, to me, we all know, like, we've spent the last, I don't know, you know, again, 13 months talking about the force that Jet is. There are going to be too many days where you can't do anything about it. Like, you just can't do anything about it, and you just tip your cap to him, and he wins, right? The days where he's down, you can't crash and screw up on your own account. Like, you simply can't. That's not going to work. You know, that's, again, those unforced errors will absolutely kill you in the end, because we've seen the most trouble that Jet has faced. And in the interim of that, Sexton has lost points to him in the interim, right? Like, that's a really tough thing to wrap your head around.
Well, and then, you know, you look at Chase, he did get the Supercross title thanks to that Achilles injury, obviously a freak thing. But I mean, throwing away points is what Sexton does. He lives for it. Because, you know, Honda, KTM, whatever it is, there's been a little more throwing away of points than on a Honda, let's say, because he's not quite as much speed. Yep. But damn, yeah.
I still think it comes down to that simple fact of, are you finding ways to win, or are you finding ways to cost yourself a win? You know, like, that's the same. It was the same thing all the way through Supercross last year. Like, it was impossible at times to say that Sexton wasn't the best guy. He was finding ways to not win.
I was talking to somebody associated with KTM in Italy, and we were talking about Sexton and the KYB inserts and this and that. And this guy was like, yeah, but did you see in Hangtown all the close moments? And I go, oh, yeah. And he goes, he just got lucky. Those are what he did at Lakewood. And, you know, those are what he's done at a Honda and in Supercross, and it didn't bite him at Hangtown, but it should have, this guy was saying. And I'm like, like, I got it. Because there were some moments at Hangtown that were like, oh, my God, you know?
He has said on the podium a few times now that he's realized the only way that he can basically win is to send it. And, you know, when you say that that phrase, that means you're kind of throwing caution to the wind and going to let things go, right? You're not going to ride within yourself. You're not going to be cautious. Yeah, that comes with risk, right? So I think he's finally got to a point where he's so sick of losing that he would rather make that critical mistake and go for it than he would sit back and lose by 4 seconds like he's done how many times because he was unwilling to take that extra risk. So I don't know which is better, but it seems like he's willing to up the risk factor, which is going to come with more crashes.
Is Hunter, like, based on Lakewood, based on High Point? You know, we had him in the mix with Jay Coop and AP and these guys. Has Hunter just broken away from those guys? Is this it?
I think so, but, I mean,
yeah,
this season kind of shown us.
Sure.
What's that?
I think so, too, but, yeah.
I think so, but this season has kind of shown us, like, be careful because, I mean, you're 2 weeks away from AP being right there with him or Jay Coop being right there with him at Thunder Valley a week ago. I think so, but this season has been pretty odd for it flips 180 week to another, but it does appear that way. And if you're Hunter, I'm sure you are tired every time he does an interview, be it press day, press conference, or anything in between. It's, what were your expectations coming in? Are you exceeding your expectations?
Yeah. And, well, he's not having that. Oh, no.
No. Yeah, I'm sure he's sick of it. I don't think he really operates that way. I think he really tries to keep I just come in and I do my job, and whatever the result is, I don't come in with a number in my mind of where I expect to be. But I also believe when people ask him that, that is a backhanded insult, I think, when he gets asked that question, which is, oh my God, you're podiuming. That's a surprise, right? So I think that's a bit of an insult as well.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, he's a 250 national champion, just like AP. Justin Cooper is not, but may as well have been. I mean, goddamn, the guy got top two or three for 3 years in a row. Jason's a little older. Dylan's a privateer. And, yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's that shocking, but I feel like he gets asked this question over and over, kind of to me with the tint of, aren't you surprised it's going this well so soon? And I think if you're him, you're like, well, I don't really have a result in mind. I'm just going to ride the best I can. Yes, it was second today, and yes, I got the red plate. But more importantly, is it? Should I be surprised?
Right.
Why not?
But why
isn't he this good?
Yeah.
Do you think that carries true for being the points leader after 4 rounds?
It would for most, but he's literally saying, like, it doesn't even matter that the points lead.
Fair.
Yeah.
I was, like, shocked. He didn't care at all at Thunder Valley. Like, I'm sure deep down he's like, this is cool, right? But he's like, yeah, whatever. Because I thought he'd be like, man, this is great. Like, things are going to plan. And he was just like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he was not having it at all.
He's always
– it seems like
– yeah. I mean, I feel like Hunter is always that way, right?
Yep, I agree. And I never get the response I'm expecting from him.
Right.
So that probably just means I shouldn't expect any response at all. So I'll probably just have to act accordingly.
And poor RJ also. Poor RJ.
Poor RJ.
Lakewood. Getting the red plate. Hunter.
Oh, Rick Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Hampshire. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Oh, no.
My bad. Sorry.
Rick Johnson.
I don't know. The Rick Johnson thing, I love RJ, but I think Hunter just in the moment didn't really. I don't know. A guy walked up to the stage. He was wearing a black hat and a polo.
And glasses.
No, he knows who Ricky Johnson is.
We have it on good authority that he recognizes him.
We had our Lars on the show talk about it last week. So,
yeah.
AP rode great in that first moto. He was 15th, 12th, it looked like, early on. AP got all the way to 5th. So, good job.
It was better than Thunder Valley.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Yeah, for sure, right?
When I made my notes kind of after the race, I just wrote, I have a shoulder shrug. Not terrible, not amazing.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Justin Cooper was pretty invisible on the broadcast. 4-6
First one was really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
First one was good.
And Anderson, Weej, second moto, Anderson. Just.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's just like, you know what? I don't even care about my race.
It's amazing. You know, I don't think people believe us when we say this, but, you know, when you're in the media business, you're supposed to root for stories, not particular athletes to win or lose.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I'm here for it only because it's spectacular. Like, we build up this, oh, there's bad blood, there's drama. And then I'm always worried that nothing's going to happen and we're going to look like we're stirring a pot that doesn't have anything in it And then I'm like, nope. He did exactly, he lived exactly up to the character that he has chosen to play. He's going to purposely let Jet get next to him just to push him wide, just to let Sexton get by him.
Yep.
And you can, fans are allowed to love or hate it. I just am glad Anderson is being Anderson and playing his role.
That's kind of what JT said on the show last night. Cool, man.
Yeah, that's what he's here to do, and that's what he does every time.
This is what you are going to do. This is what we think you're going to do, and then you do it.
And then you do it.
And we just go, all right, cool.
that's who he is. I mean, at least it's consistent. Unbelievable.
How long until, or has it already happened, Dazzy, Myrtle, somebody calls Gabrielle and is like, what are you doing with this guy? What's wrong with him?
Stars angle?
Yeah, what's wrong with him? Is he okay? Does he need help? Like not like, hey, fire him or, you know, nothing like that. Somebody that knows him, right? Like some person that actually knows him as well and be like.
Well, I think it's going to boil over on the racetrack sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
They're not going to keep having run-ins like this and everybody play nice for very long, I don't think.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Steve, you saw the clip. Surely you saw the Tommy Tenders clip from Salt Lake when Jet tried to pay Anderson back.
Yeah.
In the main. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's about as close to boiling over. He almost crashed on the night he was trying to clinch the title.
No, it's going to be more. I mean, you look at that back and forth, then Jet's comments after the race, then this weekend again. Like, if something's coming, somebody's going to be on the ground. Like, it's just going to be more of a thing than it is right now. Like, right now, tensions are extremely high. Right, it's like the Cuban Missile Crisis, and nothing has happened. But somebody's going to press the red button on the suitcase.
But like Barsha, you can't. He's like Bane in Batman. He lives in the dark. Anderson. He can see in the dark. He was born in the dark. He doesn't care if you mess with him like this. You don't want to do this. He's a pro at it. If you're one of the Lawrences.
No, and he has nothing to lose.
No.
Both Lawrences are trying to win this title.
No.
But I don't think they fear, whether it's smart or not is not for me to say, but I don't really think they fear that, right? For Jet to go at him on title night tells you all you need to know.
Yes. It's true. It's probably not smart, but I'm here for it. It's quite a story.
Is this the, I don't want to say the balloon bursting. That's a little harsh. Is this the, I don't know. I can't think of another term. So I'm going to say balloon bursting. Is this the balloon bursting on Dylan Ferrandis?
I think so. He finally had a good start. He was up there. I'm like, maybe this is it.
Yep.
It's week four, different type of track. Maybe this is it. And then in the end, he was right back where he was.
There was literally no difference from like his other three races. He went 6-7. Maybe slightly better because he goes 8-9 or 7-8 at other races. But... yeah, he was third for a while, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the opener was good, I thought, and then it's kind of gone downhill from there.
Yeah. Barsha hurt his other knee at High Point and Instagrammed himself with ice bags on both knees. We all know he's got the one knee, right, hurt, and then now he's got both knees hurt. So 10-6 on the day and in a lot of pain, he said.
I thought he went 10-8. Did that go 10-8? I'm wrong.
Okay, 10-8. You're right. Sorry. Malcolm, I never saw all day, 9-9. That's a very Mookie result. He went 8-8 last week for ninth. Now he goes 9-9 for ninth this week. So, Shane McElrath, best race of the year. Like, I don't know what the hell's been going on with McElrath. It's not been good. It's been horrific. And he qualified well, and he had his best race of the year, 8-10. So, any idea?
Well, he mentioned bike setup improving, but we hear that every time with riders. It's the 9 millionth time.
Okay, yeah.
You got any, JT?
Yeah, I think the track being a lot slower and also just getting back to East Coast, the combination of those two things, I don't think really fast, hanging out, take a lot of chances, tracks really work for McElrath. So just combine those two things, I think he probably was just a lot more comfortable with. The way the racing was, if that makes sense. It's just a different type of race.
Well, 10th overall, had his best one of the year. Grant Harlan, 11th. Hard Dog, riding pretty well. Came from way back in Moto2. I remember that. I think I had him in fantasy, so I was paying attention to that. And 1911 for Freddie Norton. Freddie was dead last in Moto 1, all the way to 19th. Good job, Freddie. Weege?
Yeah, that is, because I honestly didn't understand why the result pretty much hovered between 9 and 11 every moto, so I didn't realize that was why.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Marshall Welton, 18-12. Coolis rode pretty well, 13-17 for him coming up from the back. Derek Kelly, good start in Moto 1 or Moto 2, one of them for sure, 16-15. Our guy Phil, hole shot, paddle life.
You called it, JT. Good reporting.
Well, when he's the only guy, and then he rips a huge hole shot. I mean, yeah, it's a thing, right? Like, and that's why I struggle with does the paddle matter or not when he's the only guy that runs it, and then he rips this big hole shot. I don't know. It's pretty obvious that the start it's a huge, huge difference on the start. Also, I wanted to bring up the conversation because I talked about it with Phil, and Kiefer's talked about it on his thing. On the Science of Super Motocross feature this week or last week, one of the 2 weeks, they talk about this tire, the scoop tire, Dunlop specific version of it. And Anderson says on there, you know, when they're testing, it's a second lap if the dirt's soft. So, I mean, it's clearly a thing to switch between those two tires.
Yeah, and if you talk to Dunlop, I think the big difference is this newer one has less of a – it's not as good on hard pack.
It's more personal.
It's not as – I mean, JT, you had scoop tires.
No, it's better better on hard pack, this new one.
It's better on hard pack.
Better on hard pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said worse.
The difference isn't as stark as it used to be, right?
It's not, right. Yeah, yes, it has more side knob. They've gotten the carcass better. So when you're on a lean angle, it's not – like, the worst thing for it before was that – if it stepped out, there wasn't any real warning, and it was just gone, right? Like, there was no any sort of, like, gradual spin to it, so it was really scary that way. It is a thing, though. Like, it's a lot better performance if you can get away with it.
We talked about it on the show last night because I'm getting mixed of reviews from people on whether you're giving up that much on a paddle for hard pack, because some of those jump faces, and let's face it, you're scrubbing and, like – and Phil said on the show that last night on the Pulp Show that he could bounce off ruts. He could make it work because you could just go to a rut and paddle hook up and shoot you back in a straight line on the track. Obviously, with him being the only guy, he was making it work, right? But then also, I would say, did he make it work? I mean, he faded backwards pretty bad, but also his knee, right? So also that he went, you know, his knee was hurting pretty bad and all that. So for – It's a definitely interesting strategy of, like, you're the only guy. Like, you're like, probably not going to work that well, even though he said it was. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was awesome, Phil, as usual, just completely honest, before he's like, I'm just going to try to get a start before I fade.
Right.
Was it the fading? Was it the tire? And I've talked about this a million times with Langston and RC and Stu and UJT and anybody I've worked with on TV. I think – it's a little hard to gauge because I think one of the things you lose is you lose any option. Like, you can find a line and a spot on the track to make it work, but you can't just, all right, next lap, I'm going to go over here. Like, you have to be very careful with your line choice, and you can make it work. But if anything starts to go awry at all, the tire is no plan B. You have to be in this perfect spot in this berm. You can't just be like, next lap, I'm going to try this.
Jeremy Hand rode really well. He's always good at High Point. Hand 15-18. Yep. So I should have picked him in fantasy.
You remember,
I picked him last week. Damn it.
Sorry. One last note. You remember when the four stroke came out? This is like 2003, and Wyndham was really good that year. Came back, right?
Yep.
He always talked about it. He would say, okay, it has some deficiencies in areas, a little heavy, doesn't do things, but like if I can get in a straight line and just let that thing eat, I can make up for all. It's the same thing. The scoop tire is almost the same thing. When you find a berm, when you find traction, and you can get in a straight line and really let it go, you have to lean into that, and then you kind of tap dance through the areas maybe where it's not as good as maybe a two-stroke would have been. It's the same thing. You just have to know what you have, know where its strengths are, and really lean into those things.
Good job for David Hand. Craig, did Craig crash or his bike?
Jeremy.
Jeremy Hand. I always say David. Did Craig's bike break or did he crash?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, let me look that up for a second. Keep chatting.
38-13 on the day. I did talk to Christian yesterday about the scooped stuff, scoop and hard pack and all that. He got some hardware taken out of his elbow, and he said it already feels better. So stoked on that. He's very happy. So maybe he'll be riding a little bit better come Southwick or after that, once he gets that out. Anybody know what's going on with Chiz? Anybody?
I don't.
Okay.
Father Sean's undefeated.
Poor Chiz. Rod Bell came back, got landed on by Chase. Chase took a real lot of care in getting up and taking off and wondering how Rod Bell was doing. I thought that was great.
He's fine.
Social media post.
Yeah, he's
no, fine. I know, but it just was funny.
The great part is like the bike, like Sexton never touched him. Like he just kind of like stepped off the thing, right? Like Sexton was like, man, I hope he's okay. And I rewatched it like 5 times and I'm like, he literally never even gets touched. He just kind of jumps off.
Yeah, I think he just landed on his fender, right?
Yeah.
Cade, our buddy Cade, rode the first national of the year and 32-31, so he'll be better going forward. I don't know what happened to A-Rod. Not a good day for A-Rod. So, all right, 450s, we each, anything else?
Craig, I don't know. The Husky PR makes it sound like he crashed out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Anything else for 450s? Nope.
No.
All right, moving on. High Point 450s Fly Racing, flyracing.com. 25 years of fly. Championships with RJ Hampshire. Moto wins with Chance Hymus. What a season for fly racing. Championships with Zach Osborne and Jason Lawrence and Brandon Jessamine and more. Flyracing.com. Everybody check it out. Formula helmets amazing. And get it at motorsport.com if you can. Speaking of motorsport, OEM and aftermarket parts, go through the banner on pulpamex.com to help us out. And it takes you right to motorsport. Make a purchase. And we will benefit from that, and great shipping, anything free shipping on everything over $69 or $79. And again, OEM and aftermarket parts, best prices around. Thank you to those guys. And also to Weege Onyx Maps.
Yeah, Onyx Maps, they'll give you 20% off after you try for free if you want to keep it. And this is a great way to find places to ride. I think especially in the great expanses of the Western US where there's just massive acreage, but there are tons of trails out there. Over 500,000 are mapped out, 500,000 miles are mapped out. So type in the code RACERX, all one word, all lowercase, and they'll give you 20% off. It's actually used by the AMA Hard Enduro Series now to build their tracks. That's how accurate it is. So go to onxmaps.com or onxoffroad in the App Store. And by the way, subscribe to our magazine. We have a new and surprisingly popular promotion. We have a new set of Ethica underwear. And I cannot tell you, we debuted this, I think, 3 years ago at Loretta's, and we thought something was wrong. Like, there was this massive group of people, like, surrounding the RACERX booth at Loretta's when this underwear came out. And then we thought that there was, like, was something on fire, was somebody in a fight. Like, what is all this commotion? I did not know that Ethica underwear is this loved, but we got another set. So subscribe to the mag, and you'll get a free set of underwear, which apparently people really, really want.
So I don't think people really care about my underwear, but I got Ethica on the Pulp Show this year. And I got, I don't know, 30 pairs for myself, and now I'm exclusive Ethica guy.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just take your word for it.
Okay. All right. So great underwear. Yes. Yeah.
I wear them also. They're great.
They're great.
They are great. I have some as well, but no photos, please.
No, no. So thanks to the folks at the Ethica as well for helping us out for that subscription. Did we give the Taser MX award away?
I mean, this thing just started for June, so I guess the Taser must be done.
Okay. All right. Maxxis Rental, of course. Thank you to those guys as well. And Fly Racing, High Point. 250s. Weege, the floor is yours.
Oh, man. I've been mocked. I've been doubted. It only took us 4 races to prove that we can run with anybody, and with a little luck on our side, we are back in this. I don't know why everyone doubted this. Ty Masterpool has been unbelievably good as a rider outdoors for a long time. He's been
That's not what the point was.
Yeah.
What? It was a one day on the motorcycle, and you were talking title.
Yeah, we're good.
75 points down through 4 rounds. At this rate, he will be down almost 200 points by the finish.
Weege, JT can't do this. He just has to be right all the time.
hey, I'm on a call, but he's
I'm getting berated on Twitter. This is why I have to fight back. When you guys set
downstairs.
Me up to just get hammered.
Upstairs is fine.
Okay, just downstairs?
Yep.
Hey, where's the units located?
Out there.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, this is the air conditioning guy.
I guess so. I didn't even know there was an indoor park.
I mean, you think you could put it on mute? JT, could he put it on mute?
You good?
Probably not.
Okay. Yep.
Apparently not.
Yeah, can't put it on mute. Just can't. Weege? Okay, now he's gone.
Oh, wait. You hear all that?
Did you put it on no mute? Not possible?
I put it on no mute, I guess.
Okay. Listen, JT, you're kind of like, I get it. Weege said title contender, and we did laugh at him, myself included. It wasn't just you. JT was a little harder than I was. But I think, and Weege, I'm perfectly happy to give you your flowers here. Did I think Ty Masterpool was going to win a national? No. No, I did not. When he went after Deegs at the second moto, that was pretty cute, you know, for a couple of laps and all that. So I know you said title contender, and I just think you deserve your time, Weege. Props. Congratulations. Again, not quite what you were saying, but...
My point was, I just feel like week in and week out, he can be one of the guys. If the group of guys is... This year, Hymus, Kitchen, Vial, and Deegan, he can be in with those guys. I think he can be – will the math work out for the title? JT, fair point. He started too big in a hole because he was just getting on the bike ramp for the season.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think we should be surprised at all to see him just running up front all the time, all year.
Fair enough. He deserves a ton of credit. And Weege, good job. He gets the win. My whole problem with your thesis was – that he'd only ridden the bike for one day. That's it. That was the whole problem.
Yeah.
And for me to throw him into the title fight after riding the bike for one day, I was just like, there's no way. There's no way. But I also didn't see this ride at High Point coming either. So we'll just meet in the middle.
Yeah, we have to, because you're right. I thought he could overcome the I thought he could still go out and get fifth at the first round.
I didn't think he could win a race, Weege. I did not. So
what? I didn't either. I didn't think he would win. No, he never has.
Yeah,
he never really has come close.
He has one podium, sir, in his career.
He's almost never had the. He was on Star Racing. I think he raced like five times.
And he was let go from the team because he
sucks at Supercross. He's good at motocross. It took this amazing. One in a million situation where Pro Circuit had four dudes get hurt and they had an opening just for motocross to get him in the perfect situation for him. And he does not have a ride because he can't win motocross races. It's because he doesn't make supercross mains. Well, he found a ride where that didn't matter.
Well, this is cool.
He hasn't really been close to winning a race until this weekend, to be fair.
I mean,
not even close.
Look at how good he was last year in the 450 class. It's not crazy to think.
I stand by my previous statement. He has not been close to ever winning a motocross race.
I feel like he's good enough to battle
or previous year
quite a bit on a 450 last year. Winning a 250 national for Pro Circuit isn't that crazy.
I'm just giving you the credit, Weege. I'm giving you props.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I'm sitting back because you believed in this young man. You believed. Now
we'll see where it goes from here.
So what do you have won?
What do you have won with one more lap?
I think Pro Circuit's in a tough spot now. You can't not bring him back. You can't.
You can't. No, he won't be back. I don't think.
You cannot have a guy win a race for you and then be like, sorry, man, can't bring you back next year.
I think you can.
This is so tough.
I mean, that they can't be seriously thinking about Supercross. We've seen that too many times.
So what do? They just make him a
motocross. I don't know. I'm all in on keeping him for motocross. If you can get him an outdoor only deal, that makes sense to me.
I guess you could. I don't know. This is unprecedented to be in this situation.
Weege, ask your air conditioning guy what he thinks.
Is it Rod Bell?
Listen, he might not have won with one more lap because Deegs was amazing. I mean, I think Masterpool deserves the credit here. First win, 300th win for Mitch. Mitch got choked up, and I know him well. And, you know, I didn't know about his dad passing away. And so when you're getting Mitch Payton in that kind of, you know, mood and all that, that's great. And good to job for Ty Masterpool. That's awesome. JT, you asked, where does it go from here? I think he's top five from here on out. Like, obviously, something, not every moto, something will happen. He'll crash, bad start, whatever. But I think he's in the top five more than he's not going forward.
Okay.
Weege?
I don't have a problem with that.
Weege?
Sorry, what was that?
Top five going forward for Masterpool?
Yeah, I just think he's in that group. If it's, like I said, if it's Hymus, VL, Kitchen, Deegan, if those are the dudes, I just think he's in that group. Now, Deegan, yes, it's really hard to, it's like both stories are big. I don't want to take anything away from Masterpool winning, but I don't want to take anything away from the fact that Deegan didn't win for the first time, but that was his best rides maybe ever.
No, Washougal was better, I think, last year.
You think?
I do.
He won one Washougal, but dude, to come from 15 seconds down and nearly win both motos.
I mean, yeah, whatever. It's splitting hairs.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
This is unreal. This is next level to me.
We were talking last night on the show, and Kellen brought up, like, you know, maybe the only thing that's going to stop him is like a big crash. And I'm like, he already did that. He already helicoptered.
Yeah.
He already had that. It's unbelievable. Like, I'm not saying give him the title, but give him the title.
It seemed like they were all fairly close. Like, he was winning, but it was close.
Yep.
To see him just take Vial and Kitchen, who 2 weeks ago we thought were in the same, you know, level or whatever you want to call it, and just, I don't even know. Now, maybe it's, this track was gnarly, and like we said, it leads to separation, so maybe it won't be quite so drastic at other events. JT, I know you want to talk about, you know, Deegan, I think, has admitted Southwick's not the best for him. I'm not saying he's going to be this far above it race, but yes, it's like he's 1A and everybody else is 2B.
The last guy who ran these kind of lap times late in the race is Baggett, right? Can you guys think of it happening other times? Being multiple seconds quicker than everybody late.
That's what it reminded me of. Yeah.
Chupacabra days, right?
I mean, I looked at some data. It's crazy, man. His last two laps of the first moto were better than anyone's lap at any point in the first moto. And then the last lap, he was 4 seconds faster than anyone else in Moto 2.
And then he was six seconds better than Ty on the second last lap.
In the last two laps.
6 seconds.
Sexton was annihilating everybody. Second moto, last few laps at Hangtown.
Yeah, I was thinking more 250.
I guess I was just thinking 250s, because I'm sure you could put some of those Tomac 450 charges in that mix, but 250 class, I can only think of Baggett as like the, how are you going 3 to 4 seconds a lap faster?
Yeah.
Like the 250 class just doesn't normally have that.
Impressive. So,
JT, he hangs it out. There's no doubt. But you've ridden with a lot of these types of guys. Aren't there certain types of guys where, yeah, it sure looks like they're going to go down, but they just don't?
Yeah, Carmichael.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think Deegan was on the edge of crashing.
Right.
That's not what it looked like to me.
No. He just rides that way. It's fine for him.
Yeah, Carmichael.
Yeah, that's it. Like, he's not going to crash. Yes, he's going super fast.
But he wasn't.
It's fine.
He wasn't making big mistakes, you know? He wasn't just saving things over and over. It was just, he just rides very aggressively and really high RPM.
He looks
a little funny, but he's not. I don't think he's pushing, like, over the edge at all.
He rides a little ragged, like RC in 125 days, you know? A lot of times RC was so aggressive, so on it, and then just crushing dudes. I don't know if he's going to be RC. I'm not saying that, but, yeah, it's impressive. He's a lot like Doug Henry, so better outdoors. Like, he's so much better outdoors.
Oh, my gosh.
He's okay in Supercross. He's good in Supercross. This is amazing, though, outdoors. I'm not even going to get that. I'm not even going to get that he's much better outdoors. I'm not going to get that.
You're only bringing up the Doug Henry thing because you're trying to move the goalposts from the Alessi thing.
Well, okay,
I know
maybe
what you're trying to do, but I'm not.
Okay, but the point remains the same. Much better outdoors.
I don't believe you can dig yourself out of the Alessi hole.
Much better outdoors.
I'm not letting you get out of this.
I can't. Can I get a much better?
I mean, he won the last race of Supercross, and he's won these races in outdoors. Like, it's hard when you're winning. It's hard to say much better. Like, he's really good. Is he a little better? I'll give you that. I'll give you a little better.
Okay.
But when you're winning Supercross races, it's really hard for me to go a lot better. Like, it just, that's tough.
All right. Well, much better.
I'm just out of spite.
Fine. I gave you the master pool. I gave you your props on the master pool.
I appreciate it. But at round 11 here at Ironman, JT's going to come on here and be like, how's your title pick there, Weej, with master pool? Like, we have to stick to our
guns. No, I'm not. I only get mad, just like I got mad at Steve with the podcast thing, because yeah. You guys say these things, and then people just hammer me on Twitter. And I'm just like, absolutely beat it before I block you.
You gotta, it's Twitter, dude. You gotta calm down, man.
No, it's you guys.
Okay.
Well, maybe more Steve. Not so much Weej.
Anything with the he thought he had a chance, but I had to show him there's no chance. Any comments?
I mean, it's like I just take my answer to what I said.
Okay.
About
all right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I'm here for the people being who they are. I know that some fans are going to cringe or think it's the coolest thing ever. That's not my place to judge, but at least he is being consistent. He's giving you something like that literally every week.
But the second moto was glory to God, Ty Road, great. I'm happy for him.
Somebody's getting up, teeing him up. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. I brought it up last night. It's the Kehoe and Barsha thing. Kehoe told me he had to tell Barsha in his rookie year, like, bro, stop being an idiot. These guys have nothing to lose, and one of these guys will be DGAF one time to you, and you're going for championships and wins. Please try to treat these other riders nicer.
I think the Deegans are playing by a completely different playbook than – I don't think you can apply this to
riders. I said that last night, and Lewis or Kellen said yes, but with social media now, do you think that someone would be a little – hesitant to tee him up because they will get attacked by the bed bugs, and it's not a bad point.
Not a bad point.
I don't subscribe to that. In the moment,
yep.
When Chance is talking about you, Deegan's talking about you specifically, and you're fired up. YouTube comments are not.
You don't
going
care.
To stop you.
Yeah, you don't care about the bed bugs.
No.
Okay.
No.
Also, with Barsha, was running into dudes on the track. This is talking. This is not the same.
No, but you're making enemies. You're making enemies.
You are making enemies, yeah. But I feel like the riders are a little more frontier justice when it's like, you took me out, I'll take you out. You said something about me in the podium, I'm mad, but.
Yeah. Okay. Chance Hymus, good job for Chance again. 4-3 lead laps again. Phenomenal. Yeah. Great work.
Yeah.
Just really turning everything around, turning all the narratives around about him. And if he can keep this up, stay injury free. We're talking Supercross wins next year, maybe a championship, you know, for Chance. Like, absolutely on that level. So, good job. 4-3 on the day. And now Chance is probably at the point where he's like, yeah, podium. That's what I do. That's what I do.
Well, I think what you're saying is now he's disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, he's bummed that he led that moto and didn't win it.
Yep.
And it's amazing how it changes in 4 weeks, right?
Joe Shimoda, 3-5. Good first moto for Joe.
Yep.
I was really... stoked on that one. Tom Vial crashed both motos. Not great for Vial. Crashes in both motos. This is a grid track for European riders in the past, and I talked about Tom winning this race, I think, on Fantasy Pod. And, crashes. 8-4 on the day. And like JT said with Jet and Sexton, like, you just 15 points. You know? 15 points Deegs put on Vial, who, by all accounts, thinks he's going to, you know, win the title or wants to win this title. So
too many guys between, like, if Deegan's on an unbelievable run, which he was, you gotta at least get on the podium, right?
Juju, sixth overall. I think that's the best finish for him. 6-8. I think that's his best finish of the year.
Yeah, and he's been close to that all year, though. He hasn't been every race has been good.
I feel like he's been 8-9-10 through the three rounds.
Yeah But I feel like in 250 class, like, that's not bad.
No, I agree. Ryder D, good first moto for Ryder D. Got a great start and dropped back a little bit, but not that much. So good job for Ryder D. Pierce Brown, I didn't notice. 13-8. Kitchen. Oh, boy. Bad day for Kitch. Crash in the second moto? I don't know if he crashed in – first moto, he came from way back. He was way back. I don't. So did he crash or – you know? And wait, did Deegan crash moto 1? I know he crashed moto 2. Do we know – Moto 1, like he said, Chance got in.
I don't think
not
so.
Not really. Okay, no. So just a shitty start, like that
just
way?
Just bad start, yeah.
Okay. Jordan Smith, 9-10. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on. By the way,
I think it's where he's at.
Anstey, Deegan, maybe Romano are at Southwick right now. So they rented the track, I guess. So, Star should be ready to go for Southwick, by the way. So, All right, Swole Savacci. Oh, boy. 19.7 for Joey. Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the lap times and everything. It was just not good all around. Like, you could say some of these other rounds were just starts and stuff, but this was not good even speed-wise.
Did anybody have an eye on Mike B when the three club riders came around the first turn in Moto 2?
Well, he respects the way the broadcast tells it like they
see
it.
Oh, my God. That's the sickening. Sickening.
That was great. Thank you, Mike B. Shout out to you.
Sickening. JT, did you see that in the press release?
I did, yes. And I don't know how did I not get that? I was the one that called out Phil and the scoop and the whole shot and all of it, and I just got completely glossed over.
I'll tell you why. Because you left the group after Birmingham.
I would do that again.
Well, I'm just saying, he got the message, sir, when you just exited the group. So,
well, I didn't ask to be in that group for one.
Yeah, I know, but he's like, Mike B's like, oh, okay, goddamn. And then that's it. So,
now Jason Thomas has left the conversation.
Right,
and I'm still getting emails.
And now you pay the ultimate price. Good job, though, for
speaking of, man, I went to club yesterday. Okay. It was awesome. I went there to ride with the great Justin Brayton, his son, my son, just motoing down together. And then all of Cali was there. Theo and the Showa guys.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Rango. Yeah, it was big. I just figured Anderson might be. I didn't even know if he was still there.
Yep.
Not only was he there, but whole team doing testing, doing motos with Phil, who claims he was hurt, but he was still running.
I know, right? He's got a week off, and he's on the show last night. He said, I rode today. Well, how bad are you, Phil? How bad are you?
That was kind of Brayton's point. Yeah. Then Marchbanks is on his way back. He'll race Southwick. Anyways, good time. Good to see Mike B. Great guy. Love his respect for the broadcast. Oh, and they're riding high because, yes, I mean, the Mark Finnis. My gosh.
Dude, and he got the lead back.
Three times.
I didn't have Mark Finnis leading laps in the bingo card for 2024. I don't know if you guys did, but.
I don't think anybody did.
No. Good job, though.
Yeah.
And then,
the point I was telling him and his dad, and I said in the broadcast, who broke? It doesn't. All you're trying to do in that class is show, wait a minute, is this kid fast? That's all you're trying to show.
Yeah, listen, I don't know anything about amateurs, okay, even though we had Drew Adams on the show last night. Finnis on the Gas, I'm like, eh. And then Finnis in Supercars Futures on Club, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, and then now he's leading laps. So good job. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys seen the movie Dodgeball? Right?
Yeah.
Well, the guy throws the wrench and says, if you dodge the wrench, you can dodge a ball. Well, if you lead laps once, you can lead laps again.
It's led to a lot of paychecks for a lot of riders.
Yeah. So good job. Ryder McNabb, 15-17. Canadian champion, figuring it out here. I think getting a little better.
Okay. Is he a privateer?
Yeah, he's a privateer.
Okay. Because he did get the FMF Privateer Award. And I was worried someone was going to say, come on, guys. I didn't know what level of support he's getting here.
No, I mean, they get parts and bikes from KTM, like production stuff, you know. But, I mean, that doesn't matter. I don't think that's... That's still privateer.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, I know for sure he's not on the Alan Boubert's bike, but I didn't know beyond that.
Do you guys know we had a guy from Uganda racing?
Yes.
He was at Hangtown, too.
Stav Orland.
Yeah, he's actually, he raced them all, raced all four. Then somehow our results on the Racer X site said he was from Israel. And I'm like, that's bizarre. And then I look, he raced for Team Israel at the Nations. Because I guess his family has some, maybe some of his relatives are from Israel, but he's definitely from Uganda. I've talked to him a few times.
Is he a nice guy? Is English good and everything?
Yeah, it is. Super tall guy. And what's crazy is, I mean, you look, you know how hard it is to even qualify. That's like not even a problem. Isn't he getting like 25th and stuff?
Well, he was an alternate. He got in as an alternate and got 22nd.
Oh, when I saw he got 22nd, I'm like, oh, so this guy must be qualifying no prop.
No.
He turned... Not fast 40 into 22nd?
Yes.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy. All right. Anything else, 250s? Deegs? Deegs for the title?
Yeah, it sure looks that way.
How does Max Hansi do at Southwick? It's a little bit of a debate last night on the show. He can win,
I think he's going to be pretty darn good.
Right, he can win.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been dying to go to Southwick on a bike that he feels is capable of winning.
Right. I mean, he showed up on a Firepower Honda and got top five.
Yeah, I think it was five.
To me, the question is, can he beat VL?
Yeah.
Because I think VL wins.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen.
How about Star Racing? Nothing is ever enough.
Well, you talk about Anderson playing the role and Deeks. Star does too, right? Yeah.
Yep, we got five bikes or whatever. We got Deegan crushing it. Let's get another, baby.
Don't forget, we got Mosman. We locked up Mosman for a two-year deal.
That's right.
He's raced twice, but he's back.
Yep. It's crazy. I don't know where the money comes from. Is it that simple? I'm just like, where does this budget come from?
I don't know. I heard some things about the budget, but I'll text you. But,
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, absolutely nuts.
Because I believe they had to, you know, Anstey was under a deal to still, you know, the Firepower team races Australia Supercross and WSX.
Yeah.
And Anstey was expected to race that. And that's a moneymaker for him. So I believe they had to try to make up some of that difference. And it's just like, oh, yeah, it's June. We'll just find that money.
Yep. Okay. 250 class. High point. 450 class. There we go. Got a week off. Oh, Weej. Hall of Fame? You and JT went to the Hall of Fame. You had some sort of travel schedule fiasco?
No, I don't. Only in the mind of someone who goes to bed at 8 p.m. was the travel schedule.
Hold on a second. So tell them your schedule of the race after the race and then where we had to go. You tell me, Steve, if this is something you would ever do.
Well, it's going to start like this. This is going to blow everybody's wig back. So everybody sit down as you're listening to the show.
Okay.
I have sent my wife and daughter to England for 10 days to go see Taylor Swift in concert. Now, I know you guys are saying, I can't believe you spent that kind of money. Ah, no. I sent them in England because the concert tickets are like $1,500 less over there. And I found flights for $800. So they basically got a free trip to England and got to see the concert. But that left me with my son here for 10 straight days. So I'm like, you're coming to High Point with me. He had a baseball tryout Thursday night, but he also wanted to ride High Point Amateur Day Friday morning. So I think he left at 8:30 p.m. Still at the track at 7 a.m. after a six-hour drive. Rode about a half a lap. Really worth it.
Yeah, what happened?
Track's too tough, straight up. Just went into the ruts and just burying a 65 about three times, and I'm like, you're done. You're literally just getting in the way. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
It was so sawdusty and so muddy and so deep. Now, that's normal High Point, I think, but he's never ridden terrain like that. I've never ridden a High Point practice that wasn't muddy, but that's the way it is there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we're not going to learn how to use your clutch to get through these ruts while you're on the track with other people. So anyway, I felt bad. So after the race on Saturday, he did a good job hanging in there all day. I was like, all right, I'll take you to the baseball field and we'll play some baseball. So I think we played till 9 p.m. And then I get a text from JT saying, I'm in Columbus. You guys want to meet for dinner? And I'm like, I'm still in Morgantown.
Oh, okay.
Which I didn't consider that nuts, but I have to realize for JT, like 9 p.m. is pretty much, it's lights out.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah.
I hadn't even started driving yet.
He went to a baseball field after the race in Morgantown.
Yes.
Back to Morgantown. They played baseball. Then he drove to the AMA Hall over 3 hours away.
Yes, and I got in about 12:30. Yeah.
That's nuts.
But I got in at 2:30 Thursday night for High Point. Yeah, then we shot at the AMA Hall of Fame, our SMX Insider show. Check it out tomorrow afternoon, Thursday at 2 p.m. And then drove home, stopped at another baseball field on the way back to break up the drive. But if you have kids, you'll realize you'll do anything you can. Like, oh, is this entertainment? This is free entertainment? Whatever you want. Baseball field, let's go.
I mean, they have baseball fields in Columbus. You think you want to get the drive out of the way first and then maybe in the morning?
No, that's what I did. We drove like 2 hours, stopped.
Okay.
Oh, you mean Saturday night?
Yeah.
I just knew where the baseball fields in Morgantown were because I used to live there, so it was easier.
All right.
Yeah. Whirlwind weekend. But honestly, I was only sweating one thing about 12:45, 15 minutes where we go on the air. See, the reason tickets are cheaper for Taylor Swift in England is because scalping is really frowned upon. And there's a good chance you're just not getting in. So about 12:45, they got in 15 minutes for the show. And I'm like, rest of the weekend's easy. Can you imagine, guys, if I'd spent $3,000-$4,000 on a trip and then 15 minutes for the show found out it was all for nothing?
Huh, yeah.
How would I have done the show?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I just would have probably walked out.
I mean, the Australian trip is still haunting you years later.
Yeah, did not profit on that.
No, no, not at all. So,
yeah.
You want to talk about whirlwind trip? How about going to Italy and back with Lewis Phillips to MXGP?
Oh, you traveled together?
No, not really. But we met at the airport and then we're never.
Yeah, let's talk GPs.
Never separated. It was cool to go back. Yeah, I haven't been to a GP since Chad Reed raced Mantova in 2016. It was the last time I went to a GP.
Oh, wow.
So I was back. Yep, Dan Luongo. Had a nice meeting with Dan. Very nice man. And things are rolling for the Motocross the Nations. I'm as integrated as they possibly can be with MXGP. And I had a Fly Racing Hospitality Gold Pass for the restaurant. That was fantastic. And, I didn't get to talk to Hurlings at all, but I did interview Tim Geiser and Jeremy Sewer and Calvin Vlanderin was on the show last night. So, yeah, good time was had by all. I'll tell you what, though.
Did you attempt to talk to Jeffrey Hurlings?
Okay, so I put an olive branch out there. I put an olive branch out Saturday. I Instagram
story. What does that mean?
I'll tell you. I Instagram story him going down the hill and tagged him in it.
That's an olive branch?
Yep. Like, hey, look at you. You're fast. Like, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it was a compliment. Like, he's hauling ass. Jeffrey Hurlings.
But I don't. Does he follow you?
Well, I tagged him.
I don't think that counts as an olive branch. That seems like just journalism.
Okay, well, I thought it was a bit of an olive branch, but nothing came of that. And then I did mention to my friend Lewis, like, see what the mood is like. And I think Lewis doesn't want to jeopardize his friendship with Jeffrey. I mean, and so nothing happened.
Telling Lewis to, like, say, hey, would you want to talk to Steve? That's an olive branch. I would have given you that.
Well, no, I said, Lewis, ask Jeffrey if he saw the Instagram story and then ask him, you know, if we're cool.
Yeah. And Lewis didn't want to do that.
No, Lewis did not want to do that. And he never did that. And it was sad that he didn't help me out. But yeah, it was great. You know what? The Majora track is awesome. But honestly, guys, like, I don't know if there was. There's a huge first turn crash in Moto2, Prado DNF, championships is big lead for Geiser now. I don't know if there was. Take away the guys coming from the back of the pack and after the first turn crash, I'm not sure there was a pass in the top five all day long. Like, Geiser fell, Tip and Jeffrey got him in Moto2. I don't know if there was a pass.
Yeah, I saw the riders all say, even in MX2, that they couldn't pass.
There's this dude, Tatu or Rutu or something from EMX that got third overall, Italian guy. And Everett's, who won the first moto, could not do anything with this guy. Now, great ride. Props to the guy. But how does, you know, Liam Everett...
Did you say Tattoo or Rutu?
Yeah. I forget the name. But, like, how does Liam Everett, who is winning races and won the first moto, he can't do anything with this guy. And he needed him for the overall. One pass would have given Liam the overall. And he couldn't do it. Everyone was a freight train. And so the racing in Majora wasn't great. And, you know, also I was talking to Roger Harvey from Honda HRC. He gave me a tour of all the hospitality trucks, which are next level over there. And, you know, we kind of did the math, and, like, there's 6 top 10 MXGP riders out right now. If you count Ben Watson as a top 10 rider, which Lewis is probably yelling at his phone right now. But kind of, right? Ben Watson's right there. 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, right? So 6 guys are out, and it shows the lack of depth in MXGP right now. But, yeah, it was cool. It's neat to be there. There's a lot going on. I like the EMX thing. I like the combine. Just keep the combine on Friday. Don't bring it into my race on Saturday. But, JT, you've been there 800 times. Like, dude, you got women. You got 125s. You got EMX. Like, it never stops. There's just noise all day long for 2 days and chaos in the pits everywhere, bikes everywhere, because everyone can have 2 bikes. So there's bikes everywhere and they're, you know, just zooming around the pits. You don't really know what's going on. It's a lot.
Amateurs on Saturday also. Like, there's a lot. It's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. So you're not quite sure what's going on.
Yamaha race. They have a Yamaha specific race.
Yep. They didn't have that one there, but yes. It's crazy. Yeah, the amount of bikes and racers that are there. And now, dude, if I was a mechanic, like, and I had a podcast, which probably wouldn't happen, but on Friday, everybody's got to be there because there's now a start practice on Friday. So you gear up, you get your bike down, they bring grates down in front of the real grate, and you do start practice, Weej, for 30 minutes.
This is for real?
Yeah. So you have to gear up. You got the bikes. You got to wash them afterwards. You got to prep them. You just do starts for 30 minutes on Friday. Then on Saturday, you practice, you qualify, and then you race. And then Sunday, you practice and you race. So the riders have to be there Thursday for start practice Friday afternoon.
Wow. I knew the Saturday thing was quite controversial, so I cannot believe there's also a Friday element.
Yeah.
But there was massive, massive anger from what I heard in the pits last year because they had to go to the one-day format during COVID. Everyone was like, man, this is awesome. They dragged the Saturday thing back. I did not know that they added 50% more.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. And like I said to them, why don't you just let them do starts off the grate after practice? Because, you know, we have a start practice. We took it from the GPs. It used to be a GP thing. After practice for 10 minutes, you could practice starts. And I'm like, why don't they just do that on the grate? No one knows. JT,
well,
do you have any idea why?
Fans there Friday?
I'm sure there are. Yeah.
Well, there we go.
JT, do you know why they can't do grate starts on Saturday?
I don't know.
Okay. Like, you want to talk about our races being one-day formats and a lot of riders are out Saturday night, you know? Yeah. You're there Thursday. You're hanging out Friday, doing nothing, waiting for 3 o'clock start practice.
Wow. Yeah, I can't believe that. I'm not going to say anymore because I don't know the details as to why.
Yeah, but, yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things where you do something to improve something and you get good grace for about a year, maybe 6 months. You know, the Nationals used to be, JT, we were just talking about this, weren't you? The Friday, you rode Friday, did nothing Saturday and raced Sunday.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, just tech. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the Saturday hangout at the Tech Hotel was great. It was
if you were a racer, you went golfing. I was in high school, so I did not go golfing.
So
I'm just saying, like, along the way, the AMA series in general, and it's AMA or it's Supercross or Feld or MX Sports or whoever has made, you know, we don't have Nationals in the middle of Supercross. The travel pattern is not always perfectly east to west, but it's much, much better than it used to be. Steve, you drove the box van. You know this. Wasn't there an Anaheim followed by Minneapolis, then like back to Anaheim?
Yeah, 96. Yeah.
Yeah. Things have improved. We're down to one-day format riders flying out of the race Saturday night. Massive improvement. This is what you guys want? Cool. We'll do that for you. But,
yeah,
you know, then it's what have you done for me lately? Like, I cannot believe these riders have to come to the track Thursday to race on Sunday.
It's a lot, man. And with all the different classes, there's a lot of shit going on in MXGP weekend. And Malin's just in the trailer yelling about everything all day long. 8 hours a day, just 10 hours a day yelling about women and EMX and 125s and 80s and Yamahas and, yeah, and MX2 and MXGP. So, yeah, good times. And the Kunin brothers, Sasha won again. I was told by my MXGP expert friends that he's not the better Kunin and he won't really win, but he has won 2 in a row. And this week, Lucas Myrtle was there, by the way. I don't know if you guys knew that. And big meetings in Austria this week for Mertz, and I think the brothers' future will be determined this week.
Yeah, I have some insight there, but I can't really talk about it. It's not my place to spill the beans, but there's a lot going on, to your point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Concerning them and teams and moving pieces around the board.
Yeah, well, the big pullbacks from Austria. Husqvarna's going away over there, and we hear over here GasGas and Husky are merging, and then it seems like Austria has too many riders and not enough spots over there and here to do something with. So that'll be interesting. I heard Liam Everett's going to Cowie for next year from a few people that would know. So, yeah, lots of stuff going on. And, yeah, good job, Tim Geiser. He rode well. He rode really well.
Sorry, you might have said this. Do we know here on a Wednesday what Prado's injury situation is?
He's fine. He's fine. He's banged up and everything else, but he did interviews after the race. He was joking and taking photos and smiling and everything else. I saw him. So I was like, oh, okay. Like I said on the show last night, if that's an American rider who, you know, basically is tied for the points or real close and crashes out, he's gone. You never see him. But Prado was just chilling, hanging out.
I'm shocked. You know, I expected us to have no info because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah. Oh, no. Tons of info. Lewis talked to him and tons of info about Prado. The Euros are definitely degaffed that way a little bit, you know? So.
It's so weird how, and I said this about the GP series last year, it's so long, so many rounds, and now they're paying points on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So for the first half of last year's season, I made this joke that if you quiz the fans who is leading the points, they'd be like, oh, Herlings is dominating, because he would win most of the overalls. But he was, I don't know if he ever was in the point lead last year, or if he did, it was for like a week. Then he got hurt, and then it was over. Now it's the reverse, where I think if you quiz most fans, they'd be like, who's winning MXGP? They'd be like, oh, Prado, doesn't he win like every week?
Yeah.
Yeah, but points-wise, it's been close, and then he had a couple bad races in the mud, and now this, and now he's actually in a pretty big hole.
Yeah, a few rounds ago, Geiser got the red plate. I'm like, what? I thought Prado had a huge points lead because he was just winning, but there was the Saturday races. And
it's been so much mud, too.
Yeah.
The mud is really, really
hurt Prado. Crazy.
Yeah, and we got a monsoon on Saturday night like no other. Like, I've been going to a lot of motocross races. This might have been the worst rain I've ever seen in my life. Like, we couldn't even have a conversation under a tent. It was so loud. Pouring. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then we showed up, and it wasn't bad. You know, the track wasn't bad. So, yeah. All right.
Anyway, yeah. I don't know if Prado's going to – anything could happen. I would say the season is so long, you're just – everyone will get injured at some point, and it's just a matter of how quickly you can recover.
Yeah.
But, right now it's not – this is looking tough.
Yeah,
Prado.
It is. And without the depth there, like hard to see, like Tim can clearly fall in the first turn and probably get up to third still. And well, Febber's coming back, so that'll help. But yeah, not a lot of depth right now.
Yeah, I guess it has dropped off to the point you were making earlier.
It was great to see Adam Wheeler there, our street bike racing guy. First GP for him all year. So great to see Adam Wheeler there. Oh yeah. Good times.
That's the fever.
Yeah, big MXGP. Myself, Wheeler, and
big author guy,
and Lewis making returns to
MXGP. And Mertz.
And Mertz and Austin Hoover.
Fox?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. Some guy wanted a picture with Mertz and he just ran away. And I'm like, okay. Mertz, is that how you treat your fans? And yeah. He didn't want it. He didn't want anything to do with the picture. Hospitality rigs are next level over there too, by the way. Oh wow. Yeah, all the rigs. Honda's insane. So, all right. Good times. I'm glad we got this done, guys. Fly racing. Racer.
I am too.
High Point Review on a Wednesday.
Yep.
Hope you people enjoyed it. Hope it was worth the wait. Hope it was all good for JT to get angry for you people. That's what we did.
I was fair. I had to not talk for about 2 minutes there. I was about to throw a chair through a window.
I don't know, man. I really feel like you need to communicate better on text. I don't know. Or maybe I do, but I feel like I do. So we'll have to review the communication protocol on all of us, for all of us, not just you. Maybe we have a dedicated pod-only group text. Nothing is discussed other than the pod, because I feel like topics get brought up and then we lose the pod talk. We each, right?
Yeah, but I think part of the humor is seeing how difficult this is to put together and then having witnesses. I feel like that's part of the fun.
Well, clearly not. JT is not having fun.
Well, I was only not fun because you're blaming me publicly.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what I don't like.
Yep.
Because I'm getting blamed.
It's a hilarious weekly battle.
Well, I was getting blamed, sir. So I had to push it off. Because I didn't feel like it was
me. But you're going to just put all the blame onto me publicly. For not getting it done on Sunday like usual. That is so far from
you can't
fair.
Even bring up Sunday, Monday. I was in Italy.
Obviously, I understand, but that's not my fault.
That's a bit of a factor. Fault. It's a bit of a factor.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. Thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate it. Enjoy the week off. Fly Racing RacerX Podcast, High Point Review, Major as well, a little bit. And for Jason Weigand, Jason Thomas. Thanks, boys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.